eight people to one turned around, the other one had to turn
eight
around.
Eight people on the upper koya.
Yes. Okay. As I say, one turned around, the other one had. That's how close we were by. We were sleeping there with the people. Next day we had to go for Celapel, they called it, I think 6 o'clock, to count us if we didn't escape. That was every morning and every night. Well, we went, first we had to go wash. There was, you know, a toilet. Well, you know probably that how it was there. There was just holes there. Mm-hmm. And then we went in the washing room and we washed ourselves. It was so cold there in the morning, you know, like, God, it was so cold. They didn't give us soap, nothing. We didn't dry ourselves with our clothes. And that's how we came out. We stayed cell up here.
What was the water like? Besides, it was cold.
It was very cold, the water. Very cold.
Water?
It was standing a little bit, was rusty, was red. Mm-hmm. That kind of water they had there. And then we had to stay Celapel, five in the line, you know. There was the Stubbeltester who took care of us, you know, she was like the boss or something of us. She had to see that we stay in order. And then the German came and counted us. And then we went back in the room. We got breakfast. What did we have? We got a piece of margarine like this, one little spoon of jam, and then a piece of bread. That was it for all day long. And at night, we did the same thing. And then we got some soup. They gave us some plate, and maybe 6 or 8 people. We had no spoons, nothing. Everybody was drinking like this from the, it was like a bowl. And everybody was drinking. It was just, I think, soup. They put some grass or something. You couldn't see even a potato there. And everybody drank from that bowl.
Were you wondering about your mother?
Yes. You see, my sister's husband's brother lived in Slovakia. And those Slovak people, they took us away, I think, in 40. And all of a sudden, we hear that my sister's sister-in-law is there. Ria was her name, is her name. I don't know the last name, but when we heard that, so my sister says to me, she says, it would be good that, you know, we should let know the Ria that we are here, big deal. So I think she sent a message with one of those Stubbeltesters, you know, they call them, you know, those, not capo, I mean, they weren't mean, you know. They were all from Slovakia, and my sister says, is here a Ria, I forgot her last name. And she says, oh yeah, she says, will you please tell her, we couldn't go any place. Tell her that her sister-in-law is here. So one day, Ria arrives, her sister. It was maybe after the third day. We still didn't know what was going on. And she says, and well, she brought some toothpaste for her, or, you know, toothbrush. We didn't have that. So she says, tell me, when will I be able to go and see my baby? You know, he went with my mother. She says, you crazy? She says, your mother and your baby is all out in the smoke already. She says, why do you think that smell? You know, that was a horrible smell. We smelled it there. She says, why do you think that smell is here? That's the bones, the people, they're burning here, the people. When my sister heard, she just wanted to go to the fence. You know, the fence was electric. And she says, I don't want to live anymore. I want to die. I want to go to the fence. It's no use for you to live more. My baby is dead. And they killed my baby. And I had such a tough time with my sister. I said, tell me, are you going to help? I start to talk to her. I said, you're going to help your baby, that you're going to be dead too? What can you do? Let's see what's going to happen. No, no, I want to die. I don't want to live. And she gave me such a rough time. In the meantime, I was drinking that water there. I was always thirsty somehow. I start to drink that water, and I got sick.
Dysentery?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was already going out with blood. And I said to my sister, I said, I don't know what to do. Then she had to take care of me, you know, so she had something to think about. So, which in a way, it was good. So she says, look, I don't want you to call the reporter, because we have a reporter that you're sick. Now, you know, there was the gas chamber. She says, you just stay here. So she gave me, because I couldn't drink that soup. It was, when you drank it from the bowl, you felt sand, like, you know. You know, sand, like what they have outside. I felt it between my teeth, and I just couldn't eat that. So she went, and she was drinking my portion of soup, and she gave me her bread. You know? So, and then it was already after 3 weeks we were there that I got so sick, you know? But I didn't want to go, because I knew already what's going on here. It's no good here that when you report that you're sick. So then she gave me, and I was still sick, but after 4 weeks, they took us away again. All night long, we were sitting in that washroom. We thought for sure that they're gonna turn on the gas and, you know, we'll be dead. But yes, and when they selected us to go away again, so we had to stay naked in front of Mengele to pose for him, all naked, the clothes we had to put on, to show that, you know, if we're young or if we have any scars, they put them aside. You know, who had some kind of operations, you know, incisions or something was wrong, or, you know, they put him aside, and we were turning pose for him, you know, we were turning around to show us that, you know, nothing is nothing wrong with her. They had to go on that side, and whoever had something wrong was standing here. I remember there was a friend of mine, her mother was there too, and they put her mother aside. And the daughter says, well, I want to go to her. Wherever my mother goes, I guess she didn't know what was going on. She says, I want to go with my mother. She's a young girl. They put her aside too. So I know where she went because I never saw her again. So then we went to Stutthof.
Where is, this in France?
No, that was Poland.
In Poland.
That's Poland.
Because there's a Stutthof.
Stutthof.
Yeah, Stutthof. Okay.
We arrived 5,000 girls from Auschwitz in Stutthof. In Stutthof, well, we have no hair. You know, they cut us. We had maybe start to grow like this because we were a month in Auschwitz. So we arrived in Stutthof. 5,000 girls. And there were some German, not German, they were some French soldiers the Germans captured. But they were wired, you know, we were all wired in. They were separate and we were separate. And they looked at us and they thought they didn't know what's going on here. He says, what is this, this human? And one of them threw a bottle. And I caught it, and it was milk. And I said to my sister, I says, can you imagine, look what I caught. They threw us, they threw some soap, they threw chocolate, and, you know, the girls were all standing. And I caught milk, and I says, Shariko, look what we got. So we, both of us, you know, we drank it. It was something that, what can I tell you? So after that, so soon as they let us go into the camp, And there was a Polish guy. And he looked at me, he says, you know, yeah, we had already numbers on the dresses. So he said to me, you know what?
Were you tattooed?
No, no tattooed. Just on the dress on we the had dresses. A number.
Okay.
So he says, you know what? He picked me. I don't know, from 5,000, there were such a beautiful girls there, such a nice. He says, you know what? I want you to help me to write down that the numbers. So in the meantime, my sister went in there, and I helped him. That meant already that I'm gonna get 2 bowls of soup. And I did that. He was a Polish Gentile fellow, not Jewish.
A prisoner,
yes. And I helped him. And then next day, and I went in and I lived with my sister in the bunker. Every day the same thing, cell appel, we had to stay out. They counted us. From there, I don't know who could even run away. We were so blocked in there with all those fences. But they were counting, that was their everyday routine. They had to do it. In the morning, I went out. In the meantime, I got that guy. I helped him, so I got already 2 plates of soup. So made me, I start to get feel much better because I wasn't drinking that water anymore there by itself. So I got 2 plates of soup and I gave it naturally with my sister. And all of a sudden my sister got sick. She had some ear infection. So here I knew already, I said, Sharika, you have to do whatever, put something when you're in, when it comes to cell appeal, you have to come out. They should count you. I knew already what was going on. So she tried to stay there, the cell appeal, till the Germans came and counted all of us. And then somebody, a German, we were walking out on the street, a German came and asked the girls, who speaks German? And I ran to him, lots of them ran to him, and he picked me that I should take care of like a Stubeltester, you know, to take care of if somebody wants something, you know, so I don't have to stay just in the foyer. I could walk around, and I got that red ribbon. You know, that means 2 plates of soup too. That was already a relief that I could help my sister too, you know, 2 of us. And that's what happened. So we were there. In the meantime, that Polish guy, he came too, he brought me a piece of chocolate. He says, now put it away, he did. He brought me toothpaste, you know, which was very nice. He couldn't talk to me, you know, because the Germans were all over, but he says, here, have something, and take care of yourself, watch out for yourself, be careful. So I had something already, you know, that I figured, my gosh, he's not a Jewish guy, and he's so nice to me. Why? You know, I was wondering. So then I figured, well, he must have some feelings for human beings, you know. So, and then we stayed there. How long can I say? So there I had already, I felt better, as I say, I got 2 plates of soup. I had the food, you know, and I was just worrying about my sister. She should get better here. I wouldn't dare to go and take her to a doctor, God forbid. But, you know, she got better a little bit. In the meantime, they were taking us away again.
Well, what did you do each day?
Nothing. In Stutthof, nothing.
And what, in Birkenau? Were
you nothing.
Nothing there?
Nothing. See, we were that type of girls that they were transporting him for work. Someplace, wherever we were needed. As I see, 5,000 girls went from Birkenau to Stutthof. And from Stutthof there, they were deciding where, which, you know, how many go wherever. So then they took us, they were standing, we were standing outside, took us out from all the bunkers. And that, because I had a red ribbon, I didn't have to stay in the line no more. I was helping to put the people, they should stay in the line, you know. So then there was that Polish fellow too. He says, you know, you don't have to go if you don't want to. I says, where are we going? He says, I don't know. I says, and my sister was already lined up, you know. And they were counting 500 girls to go where, I don't know. He says to me, don't go. I says, can you take out my sister from the line? He says, no, she's in the front of the Germans there, I cannot do it. I says, then I am going. If you can do nothing for my sister there, I says, then I'm going. He says, don't go. I said, take out, you know, that was going on, take out my sister. Here, we couldn't talk like this because the Germans were there, you know, just a little bit. I go, went this way, he went that way. He says, don't go, don't go. I says, take out my sister. He says, I can't. You know, it was going on like this. So it was close to 500, the girl, you know, and my sister, poor my sister, is looking if I'm coming. Here I was hoping he's going to take her out, but he kept on saying, I can't do it, look at the Germans, they don't want to move from there. I can't take her out. I was the 500. I says, if you don't take out my sister, then I'm going. And I went away.
To another train?
To another train. We were traveling. I don't even remember how long. We went to Proust. It's by Danzig, you know, Danzig in Poland. They had a brand new concentration camp. We were the first one there. But I went with the ribbon already, you know. I didn't take off my ribbon. I went with the ribbon.
Can I say, what did some of the other prisoners say to you? Were they angry because you had the ribbon? Did they appreciate the help you were giving
them? I didn't do nothing. You know what I was doing? I was helping them to line up. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Nothing. I just had the ribbon. You know, that means that I could walk around. I could tell them, you go in the line, stay in the line. I mean, I wasn't mean to them, you know? It would have mattered if somebody else, but somehow I got so ambitious. I wanted to do something, you know? To help, maybe to help for the people there. I couldn't do anything. I was happy. They gave me 2 plates of soup because I had that ribbon. I didn't do actually anything. So anyway, we went away to Proust, brand new concentration camp. It wasn't wired, with electricity.
Was there barbed wire?
Barbed wire, of course. And we started out there. Then the Germans came, they stayed with us, so some of the women, they were in the kitchen. And now they started out to get the people out to go to work. They went out to work, they were making a field, I think. So they had to, I think, with a shovel work. I never went out to work with a shovel. I somehow always managed. I was in the kitchen busy, you know. I was helping them. You see, they had a pump outside. You had to pump outside to get the water in the kitchen. So for 500 people, you can imagine. So I didn't have no room, nothing to do in the kitchen, because they selected already who's gonna cook. So I figured I'm gonna go and pump. Just not to go out to work, you know, because I saw my sister was going out to work. It was red in the summertime. The sun was, they were so red. They had no hose on the lake, so Some of the girls, they, you know, they had those dresses, short dresses, and their own shoes yet. So here, the leg, the feet was open, so that the sun shouldn't burn them. They went and they got some from the field, there's some kind of leaves, you know, and they covered up the legs with those leaves. And they didn't realize it, that they, those leaves, they had bugs. And they went into their legs, those bugs. So don't ask how they looked. So in the meantime, these women, some of them, they couldn't go out to work. They had to stay. We had a so-called doctor there. They stayed there for a few days because those bugs went into their meat. So they got so bad that they didn't have no solution, no anything to do for them. So they accumulate them, how many were sick, in a truck. They took them back. They went to Stutthof and they brought back some other girls. But thank God my sister didn't do that, you know. But she looked terrible here. And me, I, as I said, again, two plates of soup, so she had already the food, not like the rest of them. They had to stay in the line, and they put a little soup in their plates, you know. But my sister, I give my sister because I eat something else in the kitchen, you know. But in the meantime, I was pumping that water, and I just didn't want to move from that place. It was pretty hard. I don't know if you can imagine. Just to keep on pumping and pumping, you know, and there they needed a lot of water in the kitchen, you know, for cooking, for washing the dishes. But I just didn't want to go out to work somehow to, because I see how these girls coming back. They were there for I don't know, 10 hours on the sun.
And they were digging trenches?
Yes.
Tank trenches?
They were digging the ground for I don't know for what. That's what they're doing.
The guards SS
were the
men?
Guard, of course.
Were there any women who were guards in the camp?
After that came two women. You see, when I was pumping the water, all of a sudden two women arriving. Germans. That they're gonna take care of us. They needed them. I don't know for what. They were men, guards, you know, they went out with the girls. And they came back with the girls, but two women, all of a sudden we see two women. So the from the people from the kitchen who washed the dishes, we were a few there, you know, a few of them. But I still had my red band, I didn't want to take it off. You know, they should see that, you know, they shouldn't send me out to work. So a few girls were standing there, and that German woman, one of them came out and she says, I need a girl. And she looks around and she says, you. She picked me. She says, I want you should come. So she picked me. I says, oh my gosh, I don't have to pump the water no more. So she took me into her place. She was maybe a 45-year-old woman. She says, look, I want you to take care of me. She says, you're going to be like my mother. You take care of me. You know, I could have been her daughter. She says, you're going to watch out for me. You're going to bring in the meals for me. And you're going to... So that's what I did. I cleaned up her place. In the morning, I went in maybe at 4 o'clock to make fire. You know, I'm talking about already when it, you know, because she needed warm water, I should wash her. I washed her from top to bottom, her legs, everything.
Remember her name?
Yeah. Macha. She was a Polish German.
That's her first name?
Macha, that's how they called her,
yeah.
Macha. She was... I'm telling you, she was like a fire. If I see, she asked me first if I speak German, and I said yes. I figured Yiddish and German is the same thing. But many times I didn't understand what she was saying, and boy, she even gave me some slaps too. And I had to wash her and take care of her. And I didn't tell her I have a sister here. But one day she says to me, you know, we need another blocker tester. Instead of you, I didn't do anything. She says, you see, you had to be so smart there. You had to be so shrewd there. I don't know what it was with me. I'm not a shrewd person. But somehow there, whatever I did, it was worked for me. Let's put it this way. I was mazeldek.
Good luck.
That's right. She says to me, I need a woman take care of 400 people, you know, with the barracks, there were 400 people on that side and 300 on this side. I said, I have a good woman for you. What else can I tell her? She says, okay, I want you to show her for me at Celapel. I says, I'll show her to her. She's very good. She would be very sufficient, you know. So I showed her my sister. Who else should I show? So it came, my sister didn't go out for work anymore. That I succeeded. That she shouldn't go out. She had to tell the girls when in the morning when to stay Celapel, how to stay at 5 in the line and take care of your blankets, cover up your bed, whatever, you know, there. If some of them didn't do it, she went in to do it, because many times she went in to look around if everything is in order. So she didn't want to show that, you know, the girls are, you know, they don't care, they leave a mess. So that's what my sister, that was her job. In the meantime, she got already 2 plates too. So then, the Germans went away. They left. They didn't, you know, first one of them went away. I had to bathe them, you know, to wash them. Which it wasn't, I'm not the type, you know, I couldn't be a nurse. But here I had to do it. So I washed them, I did clean them, I did everything. I was like a maid. But many girls were envying me.
To more than just this one woman?
Or to the both of them.
To both women.
Both women. But one of them, I think, there was no need for her to be there. They sent her away. So I remained only with that one woman.
Maha.
Yeah. And I took care of her. As I say, I was like her mother. You know, I got up at 4 o'clock. I went late. You see, they lived, the Germans lived like outside from the camp, you know? So every night I had to even put her to sleep to take care of her load, and then I could leave. So it was already 9, 10 o'clock at night when I left. And I had to go in around 4 o'clock in the morning to take care of her, to start a fire, you know, the little oven there, and to warm up for her the water and wash her. And, you know, things like that. And
what do you remember, any of the names of any other guards? Any specific times when they were?
They never called them by names.
Yeah.
Did
the guards talk to the prisoners?
There's some of them didn't say one word. Because they couldn't stand it, what was going on, and they were afraid to say something. Let me turn it off. And then I was in Auschwitz, that the girls, I don't know who these girls was, in a blanket, they were carrying boiled potatoes. And I was so hungry, that I went and I wanted to grab a few potatoes. And the blocker tester saw it, that what I was doing, she came and she gave me a slap. And I turned around and I gave her another slap. I am not a lefty, but somehow that's how it came up, because I had the potatoes in my right hand and she made me to drop it. You know? That blood was coming from her mouth. And if she would have reported me, I wouldn't be here today.
She didn't report you?
She did not. She was just wiping her mouth.
Were you ever punished?
No.
For anything?
She was a Jewish girl from Slovakia. These girls, they went through hell. You know, it was nice enough about her that she did not report me. That I did it. I was so hungry. Do you know what the most horrible thing is in this world? When you're hungry and you're cold. I think you rather take the hunger than the cold. But both of them are very, it's very, very difficult. What do you take? Cream and sugar?
Did you ever see anyone at Birkenau or Stutthof receive any punishment of any kind? Any executions?
In Proust, when we had that German woman. You see, the girls were going out to work there, and not far from there, there were the French guys who were
prisoners of war.
So do you know how the French people are? They were getting from home packages. Or care packages, they had more than we did. So they were giving for the girls chocolate, they were giving toothpaste, which we never got. They were giving toothbrushes, soap, you know, things like this. And they were riding, you know. And one day I was out there and those guys were working someplace not far from our place, and one of them saw me, and he sent a letter with the girl, you know, he described me, you know, and that girl gave me that letter, you know, it was like an inspiration, a little life, you know, not that every day wonder what's going to happen to us. And with that girl, well, he was a Polish descent, but he wasn't French, so he was fighting with the French people, and the Germans captured it. He had the French uniform, you know, French soldier. Mm-hmm. But actually, he was a Polish, and he was riding in German for me. So I said to the girl, I don't know how to ride, you want to ride either? So I gave her a plate of my meal, you know? And he was sending me chocolate, he was sending a little bit, you know, not much. And I always shared everything with my sister. And one day he was sending me toothpaste or toothbrush, which I needed, or soap. We didn't get enough soap, we should wash ourselves. But one day, one of the Germans came back and told Macha that he caught her with a letter. She was corresponding with the French. So that girl, they had to bring out the girl. And my Macha took a bell that thick. And he started to hit her with 25 on her hair. Macha did it, yes. And she lined up all the girls there. If they gonna do it, that's what's going to happen to them. That girl, I think that girl, I don't think she lasted too long, because her kidney, there was something wrong with the kidneys already. That thick square, she was hitting her 25, like this she was going. And she didn't have any strength anymore when it came to 17 and 18, and she was doing it. 20 had to be 25. When my sister saw it, she says, please, stop doing it. Stop riding your guy. Don't do it. Please don't do it. She was sick about it. Can you imagine me who takes care of her? She's going to catch. And he was riding deer, Ilonka. You know, my name was Ilonka in Hungarian. You know, that she knew it would be me because my name was Ilonka. She says, I couldn't live through that to see that she should do that to you. But I did it.
You continued anyway?
I continued anyway.
Did you ever meet him?
I saw him just so close, like you and me. Once we went someplace, and he was there with the rest of the guys, and he came and looked at me. That's all. Never spoke to each other. But I heard after the war he went to Munich because he asked for my address, and I gave it to him. And somebody told me that he was a Munkács to look for me. I mean, this was just a little inspiration in the lager, in the concentration camp. There was nothing serious with me, you know, but something, you know.
Did men and women ever get together? Did
never.
They could never meet each other?
Never. We had never. Mm-mm. So when Macha went away, is it on?
Mm-hmm.
When Macha went away, they replaced her. Oh, I'm doing it wrong. Before Macha came, there was a guy. I am mixed up, I'm sorry.
That's all right, as long as the stories come out.
Before Macha came, there was a German guy. I was pumping, and he was the one who needed the girl to take care of him. And he chose me. And he took me into his room. I mean, the doors were open. The rest of the guys lived there. There was here a room, here a room, here a room, you know? I mean, it wasn't that he was, he was alone, like, all together.
Was he an officer?
An officer, but I don't know.
Right, but not a prisoner?
Not a prisoner, no, a German. He was the most ugliest man. I cannot even compare what an ugly looking man he was. I had to clean up the room for him, sweep up the room, take care of his bed. You know, they had those blankets, just cover up the blanket. And that was my things to do. In the meantime, he had a table and two chairs. He was sitting there, he didn't even look at me. He put aside, there was like a bank and some chair or something. He put a piece of bread and margarine. He says, you take this for you, but watch out, he said. So I somehow always took it in and gave it for my sister. That was beginning when she was going out to work yet. So at least I had more bread to give her too, you know. Plus she had a plate of soup. So health-wise, she was all right, but that son, you know? So that man, and I was doing that, but in the meantime, all day long, I had nothing else to do. So I went back to pump the water. I was afraid if I have nothing to do, they're gonna send me out to work. And I just didn't want to do that. So I kept on just pushing the water, you know? He was with us, what can I say, 2 weeks. And then I went in, or I helped in the kitchen to wash the dishes, just kept busy, you know. And when he called me, he didn't call me by name. He said to the girl, just tell the Kleine Blockerteste, I want her. The Kleine Blockerteste, what did he want me? He was preparing a piece of bread he shared with me. He says, here, I want you to take this, but be careful. One day, after 2 weeks, I heard they calling me again. Oberschatter, calls me. So I go into his room. He says to me, I am replaced. I have to go away. listen. And when the Germans, they go away, they give him for so many days food, you know, the rations, salami, margarine, everything. He says, that's all yours. He says, and you be careful. You watch out for yourself. And that was it.
See, an SS man?
SS man.
He was an SS man.
He was an SS man. He says, watch out. He says, take care of yourself. And that was it.
Did he ever approach you for any other reason?
Never. 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 So when he left, so I had salami. Who had salami there? So I took it there, and at night, and nobody sees it. I didn't want, because the girls would see it. They all would jump on me. Everybody, I couldn't give 800 the girls that little piece. I think it was two breads, salami and margarine and jam. Whatever they give him, he gave me everything. I don't know that guy over how would he survive. I don't know where he was going. After that, the two Germans came.
Two women.
The two women. So then I was called too, As I say, I was very lucky. So then I was with her, and they stayed with us for a long time. So these girls who came in were sick, and I told you with these bugs and the legs, they had to replace them. And I says to her, Macha, she was going to take them back and bring healthy ones. I says, I would like you to take me with you. Maybe I could find some relatives there to bring them over here. She says, good, come with me. Can you imagine? Yes, so I had already a coat at that time. It was in the fall, And I had a coat where my hair was maybe that long. So she says to me, put on a babushka, make it, covered up, fix it up nicely. We'll go on the train. You're going to be traveling like a Gentile. So we went with the train, and I looked around, and I said to, and I thought to myself, is it possible? Is it true, me as a Jew, on a German train, they're all Germans around here, and I am the only Jew that I should be able to travel on a train now? Yet, is it possible, All these things were always on my thoughts. So where did we go? We went to Stutthof. When we arrived to Stutthof, who was there? That German. That guy, he says to me, what you doing here? So that the Macha says to him, well, she is my sofa. You know what a sofa is? A maid. Hmm. In German, better word, my sofa. I remember it. My sofa. He says to her, you better take good care of her. He says, yes, I will, Commander. Oh yes, I will take care of him.
Do you remember his name?
No. No, as I say, he never spoke to me, We go a little bit further, there is that Polish guy, I helped to put the numbers.
From Berka?
No, Stutthof. He says to me, Vigates. It's like in German, how you doing? I says, I'm doing all right. I says, how you doing? He says, I'm doing all right. He says, it's too bad that you left from here. I says, no. I says, I am with my sister. I says, that's all I wanted. He said, I'm sorry, I couldn't take out your sister. That was it. That was our conversation. In the meantime, I says to Macha, there is some girls from Munkács. I know them, they have the red things too. Let me sleep with them, and next day I'm gonna go to all the places and see if I could find somebody who I know, because I think 17 girls we took back, we have to bring 17 bags, healthy ones. So I slept there with these girls, you know, with my friends. They were from Munkács. Next day, she says to a German woman, Macha, tells to a German woman, she says, I want you to take, he pointed at me, to all the camps, and she has to select 17 girls. You better take her around. And whoever she tells you to pick, you're gonna